having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the show on what has turned out to be a beautiful Friday in Nashville, Tennessee. It's always beautiful on Friday because it means the weekend is right around the corner. Let's head up to the plateau, say hello to Coach Watson Brown. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm great. I'm doing great today. Hope you are. Just another day in paradise, right, buddy?
Absolutely, with a good football weekend coming.
That's nothing better. Mm-mm. College football, pro football. What else could we want? Good high school football tonight.
Absolutely.
The playoffs and the good games, and there's going to get better as it goes.
And since Watson brought that up, let's encourage any and all of you, if you have the opportunity, even if you don't have a dog in the hunt, go out and see one of these playoff games tonight because the high school kids are the stars of your future. So remember that. Let's say hello to Terry McCormick, who joins us from up in Portland, Tennessee. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. How are you?
Good. We have not yet gotten down to the festivities, have we?
We have not, but I'm sure it's upcoming.
So given your delicate ecosystem where you need to be asleep by 10:30, were you awake for last night's fiasco?
I went to bed with about 4 minutes left because I knew the Browns had the game won.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. But it was the first thing I saw when I turned the TV on this morning. It was insane.
Whoo, Watson, you saw it live?
I sure did, brother.
Okay. And I saw it live.
Sad, George. I'm glad to see. I know we're going to talk about it, but I'm sure glad to see the NFL jump on this. You and I talked early this morning, and we wondered if they would, and they did, and it's the way they did it, to me, was perfect, indefinite.
Yeah,
and
in fact,
now they can deal with it however they want. I thought that was perfect.
Watson, I put a tweet out earlier this morning that was basically, if I can find it, that sort of said, you know, let's get this done today. Because that the NFL needs to announce the suspension today. So here is what happened. Miles Garrett will not play again this season and maybe longer. The NFL announced about 2 hours ago that the Cleveland Browns defensive end has been suspended for the rest of this season, including the playoffs, should the Browns make it. And then he will have to meet with the commissioner's office before being reinstated in 2020. Now, Garrett issued a statement this morning which said, last night I made a terrible mistake. I lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. I know that we are all responsible for our actions, and I can only prove my true character through my actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, our entire organization, our fans, and to the NFL. I know I have to be accountable for what happened, learn from my mistake, and I fully intend to do so. Now, for the purposes of what we're going to do today, I'm going to assume that all of you listening to this have either seen it live or seen it on replay the thousand times that we have kind of watched this thing. Terry, one of the things I think Myles Garrett could have helped himself with last night was to sound a little more contrite last night.
Sure, absolutely. He seemed to be, as you said, not so contrite. And I agree. He definitely could have put a better face on it. I remember the Albert Haynesworth incident back in 2006. And, you know, as egregious and bad as that situation was, the one thing that I would give Albert credit for was that he and his agent, Chad Speck, who is a former who's a CPA alumnus, got out in front of it and owned it right away and said they would do whatever they could to make amends and going forward. And, you know, by doing that earlier rather than later, I think it showed, you know, a little bit more sincerity as opposed to being not being sorry, but sorry that you got caught, that sort of thing.
Watson, I think one of the things that, thank goodness, if there is such a thing as a bright side here, is the fact that when Garrett clubbed Mason Rudolph with the helmet, he could have killed him. And we're fortunate that it did not go to that level.
Oh, I don't – you guys are right about him, the way he handled it, but really and truthfully, that don't matter. I mean, he basically tried to kill a kid. When you take a helmet, that lethal of a weapon, and swing it the way he was doing, I mean, there's that's just about as bad as it gets to me, George. I mean, what's the difference in getting in a being in a bar and you come out and you're mad at a guy and you take a baseball bat to his head or something? I mean, there's no difference to me. It's a ball game, but it's still, that's serious stuff. That's bothers me. And the NFL is doing it right. There's nothing to me Myles Garrett can say. It happened, and his intent was to do anything he could to hit him with that helmet. As hard as he could hit him, he swung it hard. And then there's people that are saying, well, Did Rudolph do something to create this? It doesn't matter. That's not the way you go back and attack somebody, no matter what he said or if he pulled at him or if he hit him in the gut when we couldn't see it and all the melee before the helmet swung. It don't matter. You just cannot do that. And the NFL's got to jump at this, and that's why they did. They know how serious this is. And they did the right thing here.
Were you all as shocked? Well, I guess, Watson, I'm asking you this first, and then Terry in a little bit of a tape delay since he first saw it this morning. Were you not totally shocked as you watched this?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. How far it went and how he grabbed that helmet and went after him. I mean, he's swinging it as his players are trying to hold him back, or maybe it was some of the Cleveland players trying. I don't even know who was. I didn't even watch that part, tell you the truth, to see who's holding who there as all this is taking place. But
it was the Pittsburgh players.
You stop. It was Pittsburgh players,
yeah.
Jay. Is that who it was?
It was.
I didn't even pay attention.
Yeah.
But it just shocked George. You just stop still in your tracks and say, did that happen? Did I just see him take that and just swing as hard as he could to try to hit that guy? And if he catches him in the head, he absolutely could have killed him.
And you're trying to do this while your brother's game is going to overtime up in Pittsburgh, North Carolina, and the Panthers.
And thank goodness that was a little after this. I think the timing was.
Yeah, but it was close. It was very close.
Well, I went back and forth the whole night. I was interested in that game and to see if Baker played better, and you know that was a and then the Steelers were still hanging around. That may have done them that loss. I don't know. They were still hanging around in the wild card possibilities, and so yeah, there was interest in that game, and then watching my poor brother, my gosh, he lost another one. I don't know how many that is now, but he lost another one in just really the last couple of plays of the game, same way.
Yeah. So Terry, in tape delay this morning, what did you think?
I was shocked. I could not believe it. To see something like that just play out right there on a football field. And here's the thing. Okay, tell me this. why would he have done that? Because think about it. The Browns had the game in hand. They had the game won. At least, you know, when, you know, and this doesn't excuse the behavior, at least when Haynesworth did it, the Titans were getting crushed, and he did it out of frustration. I don't understand at all what would motivate Myles Garrett to do this when his team's about to walk out of there with a win. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't begin to even know how to answer your question except for one thing. First of all, the Steelers are used to putting the Browns' nose in the mud. They have dominated that series. And
Cleveland's first win in 5 years last night.
Right. And from the beginning of that game until the end, Cleveland absolutely rammed it down their throat. Their pass rush was relentless. Poor Mason Rudolph was under the gun all night long. And I think there is a bitterness to that rivalry, especially on the Cleveland side. I think my suspicion is that there was a lot of trash talk last night, a lot of discussion of your mama kind of stuff. And I'm just guessing here that the whole thing boiled over late. Tempers were at a real high that you and I and Watson couldn't totally know because we're watching it on TV. But I know up in Cleveland, that is a bitter rivalry.
There is nothing to reach that point to even give close to justification to it, George. You know,
right.
I don't care how bad it is. Nothing. There is no justification for that. And I'm glad they dealt with it. I hope we never see that again. I hope it gets other players' attention that no matter how much I lose my cool or what happens, I never go that far. And if there's anything that good that can come from this, maybe that's what comes from it, that we all see that as very serious, and the players see it as serious, and let's just never go there again, ever.
Amen. Terry? You and I have covered some fairly volatile scenarios before. We both were in the middle of a lot of Pac-Man Jones stuff that got incredibly heated. What do you think covering those two locker rooms was like last night? Because all of this happens at the very end. There's virtually no cool down period, as opposed to Haynesworth's deal where he had an hour and a half to sit and stew over what he was going to do. Everybody had to face the music 5 to 8 minutes later. So let me start with Mike Tomlin. I thought he was really smart to say, I'm not going to say anything. You all saw it. You have a brain. Figure it out.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best thing that he could have done. Because you know that the thing that, I guess when you're a reporter and you're in that, you're trying to uncover as much detail as you can in the heat of the moment. And you know that people are on edge. And you know that, you know, something could get said that, you know, could make it even more inflammatory, even, you know, and, you know, somebody take it and run with it. So I think Tomlin was right to sort of play it cool and say, look, you guys saw it. You know, judge for yourself, and I really, you know, say he did the right thing on that. And I have to give credit too that the Cleveland players, you know, Baker Mayfield and Coach Freddie Kitchens, they did not try to defend Garrett at all, and I give them credit for that, because the first thing, you know, that a lot of guys want to do when their teammate does something is they want to excuse it, or they want to alibi for him, or they want to try and spin it or defend it, and Baker Mayfield didn't do that. He said there's no excuse for it.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Terry, because I've asked Jay, we're going to pull up the actual clip in a minute. Watson, I thought in a deal where Baker Mayfield has had a very uneven, rocky year, rocky relationship with the media, I thought his post-game comments may have been his finest moment in 2019.
Well, let's give all the players and the Cleveland Baker, the coaches, everybody knew how serious that was, George. That we want to get on the players, and they're not very disciplined. This group doesn't do this, or this group doesn't do that. But when something like this serious happens, I think that they all handled themselves proper, and everybody knew. Everybody knew this was a bad deal, and you said it best. What would have happened if he had a clean shot with that helmet and there weren't players trying to hold him back? And what happens if he catches him flush in the head, George? Holy cow. I mean, praise the Lord that this only reached the level that it reached, and it's correctable now, and the kid's suspended, and everybody is going to learn from it. We're all very lucky that in that quick 15 to 30 seconds that we're all sitting there just like you were and I was, huh? Am I watching what I'm watching?
Couldn't believe it.
I mean, so it's praise the Lord that it turned out the way that it did.
One of the things that is very interesting, and, you know, the whole timing in life is everything, these two teams are playing again in 16 days. And the league had better have its you-know-what together to get an officiating crew that has half a chance to keep that under control. And also, the league has got to get the two teams' coaches together essentially earlier in the week and say, listen, if you think we're going to put up with anything, think again. You so much as look at somebody wrong, and you're going to get nailed. Now, let's listen in while we've got a moment to Baker Mayfield's comments after the game.
Oh, man, how any of us in this organization would do it. You know, being apologetic, owning up to it, learning from it. This is a physical, violent game that if there's moments, if you don't keep your cool, bad things can happen. And he knows that. I said it on the field after. It's inexcusable. He knows that. There's no other way around it. He's going to own up to it. He's going to handle it. And this locker room is going to have to come together, because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season. So we have to be a disciplined team. We have to address it. We have to handle it. We have to come together, and we have to play football. That's our job, is play football, show up every day and do that. So that's plain and simple. And like Freddie said, instead of addressing the things of Joe Schobert has two interceptions, Morgan Burnett, it's just that's the sad part about it, is our defense played lights out. Miles played a great game up until that point, and that's overshadowing that. And that's the bad part about this. Instead of talking about how the defense played great, and, you know, I'm going to talk about the offensive struggles, that we should have had more points. We left a lot on the board. We're going to talk about that. Until it blows over, and we don't know the extent of what's going to happen to Miles, but we have to roll with the punches, and we have to handle that as a team.
So that was Baker Mayfield in the press conference after the game. Terry, let me start with you. It seems to me that the residual you-know-what that is hitting the fan doesn't make Freddie Kitchens look very good. He's looked like a guy whose team has been out of control all year long, and some of this is gonna stick on him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he already has kind of been in the crosshairs of a lot of people in Cleveland who've been dissatisfied with the way this team has played. And I think when you look at the incident, even though, you know, I don't know that you can hold Freddie Kitchens responsible for what happened, because it was his player, and because there have been shenanigans in Cleveland and you know, run-ins with reporters, you know, different sorts of things that have gone on this year, I think, it's just another bad look in a season that had high expectations for the Browns, and it's kind of gone off the rails.
So, Watson, on the Mike Tomlin front, first of all, I thought he did a good job last night of just saying, I'm not talking about it. What does he now do with his team in the aftermath of this?
You know, I think a lot of that's built in. Terry just hit on something that it's exactly the way I feel. When you get some of these situations and you have things build up all year long, it really, that's the way you build your team early, and you try not to have all of that, and you try to teach them this, we're going to act this way, and we're not going to blunder our problems out in public. And I've always thought that Mike has done a pretty good job of that, good times and bad times. And I thought last night he handled that really well. I would be very surprised if his players come back. Now, they're going to try to beat the fool out of them, I'll tell you that. But I'll be very surprised if there's any incidents from the Pittsburgh side from this, because I think Mike is probably already addressing it. And it started by what he said last night. Don't think all the players aren't waiting to see what he says in public. And then I'm sure he addressed it to the team in private. But immediately when he did that, he basically said, look, it's not good, but we're not going to point fingers. We're not getting into all this. That's not what we're going to do. And he was the losing team. He was the losing team last night. So I'll bet you guys, there's not an incident from the Pittsburgh side in a couple of weeks.
I know we're coming up. Excuse me. I know we're coming up on break, but I thought there was one encouraging thing, is when it all happened or after it happened and all the players were getting off the field and, you know, the reporters were running on the field, Tomlin and Kitchens both came together and you could tell they were talking. They were hitting each other on the back. They were just talking. It wasn't like, you know, they were mad at each other or anything like that. So that's an encouraging sign to see that.
I'll admit, when I saw it, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall to know what was being said.
True.
Because it may not have been as nice as the look that was there. Anyway, let's do this. It's 2:25. During this hour, we're going to spend pretty much the hour talking about it. Now, my suspicion is, as has been my suspicion for a while, it's Friday and you're taking off of work a little early, and who am I to cast any stones about that? But if you're out there driving around and you know anything about this incident, I want you to call in now. I want to hear your opinion, because it's one of the most shocking things I have ever seen in sports. I tried to think last night, what is the most shocking thing I had ever seen in sports? And one of the answers I came up with for me was a game I did back around 1990 with Ron Bargatze, the Tennessee Tech MTSU fight in basketball that resulted in about 14 suspensions. And if you have never seen that baby on YouTube, it's one of the five worst fights in college basketball history. It went on for about 25 minutes, and the truth of it is I could write a book about it sitting at courtside. What I saw last night topped it. I want to hear some of your opinions. 844-5600 is our number. Again, 844-5600. I know you're out there. I know you've seen this. I know you have strong opinions. I want to hear from you next. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes, or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's fangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got, at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
If you got a first-time head coach, that person should be smart enough to put experience on the defensive side of the ball and also on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive side, first 2 years, individuals who have never called a single play in the NFL ever. And yet, what are we looking at? Another person who has never called a single play in the NFL.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Okay, we welcome all of you back at 2:31. This first hour will be a little more serious than normal. Let's take a few phone calls and see what you all are thinking. Justin, line one, tell me what you think. Hey, Justin, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good. To me, I think Garrett should be suspended for a full 16 games to have it go into next year. I think he got off light a little bit with the six games. I mean, you know, it could have been really bad. It could have, you know, really hurt Rudolph. And, you know, that's just outside of football at that point once you get, you know, swinging helmets.
Remember this. We don't know for sure that it is six. We know right. that there is a meeting with the commissioner that would allow for further or allow for immediate. We don't know that answer. I think they took the right move, which was to say, whatever the case, you're not playing this year, so forget it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, at a minimum, that's probably the right thing to do, but definitely was a dangerous thing. And to me, you know, one issue I have with it is they gave Pouncey – 3 games, if I'm correct, and I don't really see how that's justified. I mean, the guy was defending his quarterback, and, you know, I mean, he hit a guy with his helmet on. I just didn't think what he did was bad at all. And he got three games. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, let's talk about that. Watson, let's start with you, your reaction to Pouncey's punishment in this.
You know, I'd have to go back, George, and study that a little closer to see exactly what did he do. I know he's in the mix. That might be a little stiff. That might be true. I don't know. I really hate to comment because I was watching Myles Garrett so close and Rudolph that I'm not sure I got – I know Pouncey was in it, but I'm not sure exactly how far it went, and I'm sure they slowed it down and decided. Did anybody else get suspended, guys, from that?
Terry, help me.
Linebacker got, the other Cleveland linebacker, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, or defensive lineman.
Ogun Baju or something like that?
Yes.
Because his was a complete cheap shot.
Yeah, he pushed Rudolph in the back after the fact.
Yeah.
When he had his back turned, but – to go on your point, Coach, Pouncey, as soon as he saw Garrett swing the helmet, he rushed after him, and I'm talking just waylaying. I'm talking punches flying. And then once the lineman that was holding Garrett, he throws him to the ground, Pouncey starts kicking him on the head and then gets on the ground and kind of hits him once or twice.
And that's probably what got him the big suspension right there.
But here's the deal. I mean,
that extra piece. If you got one down and you start kicking them now, they're gonna be hard on you.
Yeah. Well, virtually any player in Pouncey's deal is going to take up for his teammate. And I suspect
that's why I asked how far did this go? That's why I asked that question.
And my suspicion is he's going to appeal and he's going to get this thing reduced one or two games because the public, Terry, is going to side with him.
Yes, I think you're probably right on that. And, George, you were talking about other incidents that have been, you know, supposedly this. I'll give you one that goes way back, and I know you'll remember this one. Was the Padres and Braves back in the 80s.
Yes.
When that one, there were about six or seven fights that broke out in that one. That was one that was pretty egregious as well.
That was a Pascual Perez, and what I remember on the San Diego front was Greg Nettles, the former Yankee, going absolutely berserk.
Champ Summers, and I actually watched that on YouTube today because it reminded me of that, and it was Champ Summers and Kurt Bavacqua, and it was Bob Horner. Champ Summers went to go get Pascual Perez, and Bob Horner headed him off at the pass, and then that's when the fans got involved.
Yeah, because it veered way. They were lucky last night that the fans weren't within any close proximity to get in the middle of it, because if you had had that, given the beer drinking that goes on in Cleveland, that would not have been pretty. 236, let's go to Otto on line two. Otto, give me your opinion.
Well, George, as an Auburn Burn fan, I definitely know tension when I see it. But my goodness, that went too far. You do not take a guy's helmet and then use it to play whack-a-mole with that same guy. That's just the worst of it. But I understand poisoning I understand poisoning tumors, corners, oaks more than I understand that. And that's saying something.
Well, look, it definitely crossed a line that in sports you cannot cross. And, you know, today Miles – first of all, Terry, Myles Garrett could help himself considerably with a very conciliatory phone call to Mason Rudolph to apologize, to truly apologize, not one of these – read me a prepared statement. I don't give a damn about his prepared statement. I want to see some remorse.
Sure, absolutely he could. I think that would probably be a good first step toward trying to make amends. I don't know that you can make amends, but that might be a good first step toward trying to get back into the good graces of the league. You know, and the thing about this is, think about how much this hurts Cleveland, too, because Myles Garrett is a talent. He's a former number one overall pick. He's a guy that you can build a defense around. And this is a, you know, he not only, you know, went off the rails and you know, tried to hurt Mason Rudolph. He has, you know, probably killed off whatever chances his team had of making the postseason left.
And that's not even considering the fact that this was the first season that Cleveland beat both Pittsburgh and Baltimore more in the same season. So you're ruining that chance just by throwing down the helmet. Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, look, it completely dissolved what should have been a good night up there, a night where they're getting back in a pennant race, a night where they're taking a hated rival and cramming it down their throat, and instead the other 52 members of that football team are having to answer for him. And, you know, he also owes them quite an apology as well for his role in it. Otto, thank you for the call.
Hey, no problem, George. Let's hope next time we talk, it'll be about something a bit less serious.
Well, that's that's why we may have the 3 o'clock hour. Thanks.
See ya.
Let's go Dr. Detroit next. Doc, I know you saw it, so give me some opinions.
Man, I tell you, the way it just happened so quick, George. I was like, kept backing up. I had my dog on a leash. I was about to walk my dog around the neighborhood one last time, and I'm like, what? What? And it kept on. It kept on. It kept on. I'm like, oh, my dear God. What a few. I mean, Cleveland, you were at home. You came out victorious. Why would you attempt an event of this horrible matter like this? Just gave the whole game a black eye, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was a good brawl, you know, quarter to quarter. And that's just, man, for a Browns fan and living in the city of Cleveland, these are not your throat. That's the way I look at it. I got one quick question, and I'll hang up. This will be the short for Dr. Detroit. All right, so we talked about John Stackhouse getting the job at Vanderbilt. I didn't know Scottie Pippen Jr. is a Commodore.
Yes.
Wow. Now, do you know how Mr. Stackhouse got the job? Just, I mean, by basic interview, but do you think Scottie Pippen Sr. sort of gave him a leadway saying, hey, Vanderbilt needs a good coach. Their coach the last few years was horrifying. Do you know any scenario on that situation?
No, the connection is that Stackhouse was a coach in the the G League.
The
G League is now
That's right.
Kind of the old, you know, CBA.
Or like arena football at NFL.
Yeah, and Malcolm Turner was the head of the G League, and that's the connection.
Okay.
The Pippen thing comes well after that. No, Doc, thank you.
Yeah, Pippen.
Like you always. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too.
Pippen was recruited by Bryce Drew, and he stayed on course.
2:41. We're going to go to the break, and then I want to ask for a few more of you to chime in. Give me your thoughts on a terrible night in Cleveland. Maybe the worst sports night since the nickel beer night fiasco of the mid-70s. And if you don't know what that is, look it up, because it's unbelievable. Anyway, virtually all of you either watched it or have since seen the footage. I want some of your opinions. I've got lines open. We'll get to you after the break at 844-5600. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple: incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse Steakhouse in Nashville and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
.246, and we welcome all of you back on a Friday afternoon. Obviously, we've spent virtually the entire 2 o'clock hour on the Myles Garrett situation. If you're just joining us, the NFL announced earlier today he's been suspended for the rest of this season, including the playoffs, should the Browns make it, and he will have to meet with the commissioner's office before being reinstated in 2020. So let's do this, because this seems like a moment where a season can go north or south. Watson, let's start with the Browns. Where do you think their season goes from here? And if you're Freddie Kitchens with a couple of extra days, what buttons are you trying to push right now?
I'm trying to keep your team together, just get everybody focused and get back on football. It's a done deal. The situation happened. The penalty is down, and it's said indefinite. So that doesn't mean it's just these 6 games. It could be 8 more next year. We don't know. I think what he's going to do is try to get his team calmed down. One of the bad things about all this, George, they just lost one of their best players. for the season as they start to make a run. You know, that's on the sport side looking at it, but they just lost one of their best players. So it's tough, and they fought a lot of things this year, a lot of things they brought on themselves. You know, still in Baker's interview, if you listen to it real close, he handled it very well on the incident, but he still had the little shots at the press and there. You go back and listen to it, I still feel a little animosity in what he was saying, and whether that's right or wrong. Stuff like that's what the head coach has got to calm his kids down, because that's a distraction they don't need, is the outside stuff and somebody saying this and the press saying that. If the good coaches find a way to get that under control, and this is just another one of those incidents where Freddie has got to find a way to do that.
Terry, it strikes me that the Browns' season, of course, that they're in the middle of a two-game winning streak, which is the high point of what has been kind of a disaster. So now, all of a sudden, as they're about to get some really good news and get back in the race, this happens. It seems to me that if they fall apart from this moment on, Freddie Kitchens will be one and done. You buy that?
I definitely buy that. I think, things have kind of spiraled out of control there in Cleveland, and last night was kind of the culmination of it. And what's even crazier is the fact that it happened in a game that they won. It's not like they lost. And they were showing last night during the game that the Browns actually have one of the easiest schedules left. It would not be all that difficult for them to finish 9-7 or even 10-6 despite, you know, their terrible start to this season because of the games they have left. But now you've got a team that looks totally in disarray, and you wonder if they can somehow pick up the pieces and regain some form of discipline, because they certainly didn't show it last night.
Now, on the Watson, on the Pittsburgh side, it seems to me Mike Tomlin, having lost Ben Roethlisberger, has gotten a lot of respect around the country for keeping this team together and keeping them in a race. It's almost like he's been getting more respect now than when he had the full, you know, arsenal. And I wonder where it goes from here. What do you think?
I think it goes for where it goes is how they finish. You know, they're 5-5, aren't? No, it's more than that. What are they now? Is that 5-5? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do they finish in the last six? I think that's where it goes. I don't know how they will, but I do think he's done a very good job really didn't even have Mason Rudolph in some of these games. So I think he's held this team together, and they won with their defense, but then he lost some very important players again last night, guys. I mean, you can't win without players, and they lost their tailback. They lost Juju, didn't they, in the game? I don't know how serious.
And they lost another receiver to a concussion as well.
And then lost another, which was another bad hit, guys. That was a bad hit, George. Did you see that one?
Yes.
I mean, that one was,
yeah, that was
you talking
rough.
About that? Well, they threw the guy out of the game. It was bad enough that it wasn't just a 15-yard penalty. They threw the guy out of the game. So, yeah, I mean, isn't it amazing that you can have that many things happen and you win the game? But I think Mike Tomlin's one of the better coaches in the league. I like him. I've always thought he's handled himself well. And he's had some things he's had to deal with. How about Antonio Brown? He's a guy that and you say, how will it go? How will he be when it's over? He may be one leaving to go somewhere else himself. Maybe he's had enough. I don't know, but I do think he's done a good job this year.
So, Terry, one of the things that I've been hearing, and I guess this drives me crazy, and this is going to be a cynical side of me, but I am so damn tired of hearing about protecting the shield. Screw the shield. It's some stars and a logo. They act like it's some sort of a religious artifact, this protect the shield thing. I'm tired of hearing that.
Sure. I mean, it's really,
Was that me being a little cynical?
Yeah, but I agree with you. I mean, you know, the league is basically always going to look out for the league. I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. They're always going to look out for the league. They say they have the player's best interest at heart, but I think that only goes so far. I think the league's best interest is usually for the league, and that's just my opinion from having covered the Titans and covered the NFL now for 22 years.
Okay, 2:53, we'll go to the break, wrap up the hour when we come back, and then in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to get into a little bit of the lighter side and have some fun with you all. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kalutis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Inner Zen Outer Beauty, located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our rooftop pool and bar.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Okay, a final note to end the hour. Did you all see where Antonio Brown had an 8-hour meeting with the NFL yesterday?
I did.
Wow.
8 hours.
Wonder what kind of topics were discussed.
I hope there was a lunch break in this.
Well, in eight hours, what topic wasn't discussed?
My God.
Gracious. It had to be more than one guy he was talking to.
Oh, it's
in 8 hours time.
Lord. It's unbelievable. I mean, 8 hours worth of this, and apparently that wasn't enough, and supposedly there will be a couple of more meetings before it's over.
Well, 8 hours might not cover all of the issues he's been in, George, to tell you the truth. That's probably right.
Probably multiple eight-hour sessions.
Yeah, I mean, it might. Maybe, you think about it, it might take him longer than that.
Maybe they're asking him to be the guy that catches passes from Kaepernick at tomorrow's workout.
Well, you know what? That is a real possibility. Terry, that's a great line.
Oh, God.
That may have been the line of the hour. Okay, when we come back, we'll get into the fact that your weekend has begun, and we're ready for ours to start as well. Hopefully you know what that means. Hit the phones.